what drives me and makes me feel alive, and I know a lot of people, is how could I live every day or my life to my fullest potential?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and you are going to love our guest today. His name is David Schnurman. He is an entrepreneur, author, and speaker dedicated to inspiring others to live fearlessly, learn continuously, and lead with purpose. As CEO of Lawline, the leading provider of online continuing legal education in the United States, David has helped over 180,000 attorneys complete more than 10 million courses designed to elevate their careers and expand their mind. A former president of Entrepreneurs Organization New York, he has spent his career building businesses that empower growth through education. His talks on entrepreneurship, leadership, and personal development have inspired audiences at TEDx, the Clio Cloud Conference, Scaling Up, and YPO, earning top ratings for their mix of storytelling, humor, and actionable insight. His work and leadership have been featured in the Wall Street Journal, Inc. Magazine, Entrepreneur.com, Cranes New York, Law.com, and Forbes, to name a few. There's so much more I could tell you about David, but he's here today to talk to us about his newest book, 11 Suitcases, which is now available everywhere. David, welcome to the Daily Helping. It is awesome to have you with us today.
First of all, Dr. Richard, I want to say I know how hard that is to do, and people don't appreciate to do that without any takes, to say it with the energy that you said it. Like, I can't do that. And so that's why when I start my podcast, I just say, hey, Dr. Richard, how are you? So I appreciate you doing that.
Well, you know, as I read through this, you said that there's actionable insights and humor. We love humor. I'm going to hold you to that. But I appreciate your kind words, and I'm really grateful you're with us today. We have so many things that we're going to get to talk about. But what I really want to do before we even start thinking about the book is I want to jump in the David Schnurman time machine and take us back to some of those seminal moments that put you on the path you're on today, helping so many people.
Well, I'll start with the path where our paths kind of emerge when, you know, we just met like 10 minutes ago, but I read your bio before this. And we have one person in common who's been impactful in our life, and that's Hal Elrod. And so I have three books that have been transformational in my life. One of them is The Miracle Morning. And it was right when it first came out. And I was like, somebody recommended it to me. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to reach out to this author. I think this is great. And I reached out to him. We started talking. I think, on the board of EO at that time. And I'm like, why don't you come speak at our chapter? And he was early starting out. And I became one of the people who helped him promote and expand his book. And the reason it was so important for me at that time, I didn't think I was a morning person. And I realized not only was I a morning person, the earlier I woke up, the more I got done and the more energy that I had in my life. And so since then, it's transformed to who I am. And Hal and I had such a great relationship over the years is when my first book came out, the Fast Forward Mindset, he wrote the foreword to it. So it was like such a cool circling moment. And like, there's one person who's not full of it. It's Hal. Like, you can say, yeah, he got hit by a car the first time. I mean, the car accident the first time, that was terrible, but maybe that was a one-time thing. But then when he had cancer and said, this is a good thing, we'll get through this. And I saw it. I was there live watching it happen, being part of that. I'm like, wow, this guy is special. So him and the way he conducted himself and that relationship has certainly been part of my journey. But there's a lot more, but I just wanted to start with that.
I'm grateful for that. Hal's name comes up from time to time on this show. In fact, I had another guest on, a good friend of mine, Andy Storch, who was on recently. Same thing. You know, for me, the Miracle Morning was something that pulled me out of an abyss, if you will. I felt really stuck. That's the last time in my life I really felt stuck, because that book kind of gave me a blueprint to doing some things. So for posterity, we're going to link in the show notes to the two times I've had Hal on this program, and this is kind of inspiring me to reach out and have him back a third time.
I should say I'm grateful actually for the 11-2 cases. He did an endorsement for that book as well. So he's a great guy and keeps pushing out there. But if you want, I could share, just to help with the story, two other books that have been transformational.
Sure, that'd be great.
In my life. Another one is The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. I think it's How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be, which is similar to Good to Great, because I know you talk about that. But it was a couple principles that really changed my life. One, principle number 54 was keep your commitments. And it sounds simple, but at that time I was breaking my commitments left and right to my wife and to my employees. And so the thing that changed my life is I was like, what is the hardest thing that I can think to do that is I would never do in my life? And I'm like, that's run a marathon, because I've only run 3 miles. This is in 2012. And I started in Lawline, which, to give you a little bit more context who I am, in 2006, I started Lawline. I'm an attorney. I went to law school in 2003, which over the years has grown to the largest provider of online continuing education, which is mandatory for 1 million attorneys about in the country. So 2012 was not really in good shape. And so I committed to a marathon and actually got through it as a result. And since then, if I say I'm going to go to lunch with somebody, if I say I'm going to clean the dishes, if I say I'm going to meet with someone, I do it. And once you keep your commitments, you realize how often people cancel on you, not only cancel on you, but cancel on you last minute. So that book I use on the regular. And if you want, I could share the last book too.
I'd love to. Yeah.
Perfect. And this is, we all know who Dale Carnegie is because he has that famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. What's a lesser known book, but more impactful for me at least, is How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And it's a book at the time, because it takes place 75 years ago. And, you know, the stories are kind of interesting and different, but like to see the formulas that he gives you to deal with worry. And you realize people worry about the same things back to antiquity and all that stuff. But he gave me formulas right away that I used like the next day that have taken the stress out of decisions that I make and things that I do. And I think most of the challenges that people have in their lives is they're afraid to make a bad decision.
I'll make just a couple comments on those books. When I had my first job out of college, I was sent to Dale Carnegie Leadership Training, and I at the time felt like I was being forced to read those books. And now I realize how valuable that was. I don't have my own time machine, so I can't go interview Dale Carnegie, but I did have Jack Canfield on the show to talk about The Success Principles. So I'll link to that in the show notes as well. One of the best books I've read in many, many years. So thank you for that. So I'm already loving the conversation. You're a personal development guy at heart.
I call myself a Shah.
A Shah.
Self-helped addict.
Okay. I like that. It's very interesting. I'll throw one more in for anybody listening, just because we're naming books. Your Best Year Ever by Michael Hyatt. Really exceptional book. And it works beautifully with the other books that David mentioned, because it helps you operationalize and frame your goals in a way that's measurable in a manner that I've never really seen done in a book before.
I've never read it, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason I start with books is, to me, a $15 book is the best, for me at least, the best return on anything that you can have to transform your life, from hiring coaches to go to seminars. For $15, you can get all the knowledge and read it over and over and over again.
It's true. It is true. And, you know, there's a saying that readers are leaders. And a part of my morning routine is just cracking a book and digging in. So I love that. So we could talk books on our shelves all day long, and we've hit some good ones, but I want to talk more about you and your journey, David, because you're doing so many cool things. So at what point, and I love to ask this of people that are high level achievers, that are entrepreneurs, you went to law school. Going to law school is a lot like getting a PhD or going to medical school. For most people, there's kind of a path, right? And the path in law school is you go out and you graduate and you pass the bar, and then maybe you work for yourself, maybe you join a firm with hopes of being a partner one day, but you obviously are doing something very different in law today. Is it for you, was it this kind of innate burning thing that you wanted more than just with the kind of, I don't want to say the regular lawyer, because that's minimizing the achievements of people who graduate with a Juris Doctorate, but what was that like for you? Did you kind of know, okay, here's a gap in the marketplace, or I just want to dream big and do big things, or maybe both?
I graduated GW in 1999 in college, and I thought within 1 year I'd be making $1 million a year, whether it was my own business or in some form. 5 years later, I was on my fourth sales job, you know, making a lot less than that. And I remember at one point looking around, somebody who was 17 years my senior and it was on his like 12th sales job, I started to get concerned that would be my future. It was at 9/11. I'm in New York City. It was a very traumatic morning. Like I saw everything, you know, just everyone has their own stories about that. But I remember thinking probably within 2 weeks of 9/11, I quit my job. And I didn't have another job lined up. I was just like, this is not what I want to do. I need to figure something else out. And I became a real estate broker. And what I remembered is that I love studying for the real estate exam. And so when I became a real estate broker, I started thinking, maybe I could go back to school. My dad is a personal injury attorney. He's retired now. You know, he came from a single mother. He had no money. He drove a taxi in law school, and going to law school gave him everything that he wanted to provide for the family. So it's all he ever wanted me to do. So of course it was the last thing I ever wanted to do. So 6 years after graduating and going through this journey, I came to my own decision. Okay, I want to have a career for the next 20 years. So that's how I ended up in law school, but I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so in law school, this is before podcasts were a thing. My second year of law school, I started a public access TV show in Manhattan. And I also put it on YouTube. It was like the year YouTube started. It was called True NYC. One of my first guests actually was Simon Sinek. It was before he was still amazing, obviously, but it was before he became mainstream. But I interviewed a lot of great entrepreneurs. And I was asking them, how do you start a business? What's the magic answer? And you said a podcast brought you everything you have in your life. I understand completely, because of that True NYC show has brought me to everything that I have today. Even going to Barcelona for 11 Suitcases, it was a direct result of an interview that I had on that podcast that led to me meeting the right person to go there. So it's a long answer, but second year of law school, I had the opportunity to, instead of interviewing entrepreneurs, to interview lawyers and to turn those interviews into courses. And then my third year of law school, I started school 2 days a week, the business 3 days a week, and I haven't looked back since.
And I'm not going to dive tremendously deep into the legal stuff, because this show is not focused on law, but that entrepreneurial spirit was there. And so you've been on many stages, you're known everywhere. What are some of the lessons you learned along the way? And let's start there.
There was actually five lessons that I learned through my interviews for True NYC. And they hold true today 100%. And they're all cliches. And there's a reason they're cliches are what they are, because they're true. So let's see if I can do it. Lesson number one was the most important lesson. And that was take action. You know, everyone was like, everyone talks that they want to do, but most people actually don't take action. The second one, again, cliche, you can't be afraid to make mistakes. It's easy to say that, but it's really hard to make decisions, especially as an entrepreneur. And we all deal with that. Number three is you can't listen to the negativity of naysayers. And what really stood out to that one, the naysayers 9 out of 10 times was not your enemy. It's not someone who didn't like you. It was the person who loved you the most. It was your parents. It was your wife. It was your spouse, because they were afraid of you getting in trouble. Four, you got to go out of network. And then five, you got to do for others without wanting anything in return. Those five principles have carried me through my career.
You know, the mistake one is interesting. I think at its core, the difference between entrepreneurs and non-entrepreneurs, if that's a word, is that people who aren't entrepreneurs are afraid of making mistakes, or rather taking accountability for mistakes sometimes. People who are entrepreneurs and are successful welcome the mistakes, because they'll learn from them and they'll know they're or at least I'll try not to do them again.
I'll say this, that sounds good on paper. So I think I know a lot of great non-entrepreneurs who are afraid of mistakes. I know a lot of entrepreneurs who are afraid of making mistakes. And I can tell you this, there's no set thing, because every time you grow, as you know, it's harder to do the next thing. And then also, once you create a certain amount of success, you're afraid to lose it. And that's what the fast forward, my first book in 2019, The Fast Forward Mindset, I wrote it at a time where I built enough success, but the whole book was about all the failures that I had up until that point. But I wrote the book because I had gotten like too comfortable, that I got too good, too comfortable in my good life, that I was afraid for my great life, right? And so like I was too comfortable there. So my goal was to create a framework to take action, get out of your comfort zone and stay out longer. And by the way, again, I'm not trying to like talk the books, but the reason I moved to Barcelona was the direct result of me creating a framework to take more action. So I'm always afraid that I'm going to get too comfortable, and I keep getting too comfortable. So now I'm trying to do other things to figure that out. And this is, you know, writing a book is not easy, and trying to get it known is even harder.
Yes, especially in 2026, where,
oh my God,
you know, there's distractions everywhere and everybody's an expert on everything. So let's talk about,
you want to lose money, write a book.
Let's talk about your newest book, 11 Suitcases. So why the impetus to write that?
Yeah. So forget that we're talking about a book. It's just a story. In 2015, I had three kids under six and under, and we were struggling a lot. And I talk about books because they transformed my life. And I was just trying to figure out how to get through the day. And somebody recommended this book called Three Big Questions for a Frantic Family. The author is Patrick Lencioni, who's also the author of Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And he has four kids. And one of the things he said is he had you apply mission, vision, values, things that you all only apply to companies, but to your life and your family. And one of the things he had you do is create a rallying cry that would give you a vision for your family for the next 10 years. And so I sat down with the six-year-olds and my wife, and we kind of tried to figure it out. And we said all these things. And the last thing that we said is we want to live our life through travel. Because my wife and I, before we had kids, traveled a lot. That's who we are. And so that just became something. Do you know The Secret? And I mean, it's Think and Grow Rich, all that, right? You put it out there and it comes back to you. And there's science behind that, right? Because you can only pay attention to so many things at the same time. So I started telling everybody, we have this vision that we want to live our life through travel. So you tell enough people, you finally tell the right person. And somebody introduced me to somebody who moved to Barcelona with their family for the year. And they had an amazing experience and it transformed their life. So I ended up talking to this person for 4 years. And then in 2019, after I published The Fast Forward Mindset, I said, I got to eat my own, what is it? Eat the frog? Eat your own dog food or something? Eat your own dog food. And so I'm like, we decided, okay, we've been talking for so long, either we're going to do it or not. And so we made the decision to take our kids out of Brooklyn, to take them out of school, and then move to a new country. So not only can we travel, but we can show them what it's like to live in a new culture, to learn a new language, and to explore more of the world. So that's the 4 years that led up to it and why we did it.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. And so the book is taking us through those 4 years?
So no. So it was 4 years to make the decision to go.
I got it. Okay.
The book is taking you through my first year there. I ended up staying 2 years. And as probably maybe you can think about, why is it called 11 suitcases? We had packed 11 suitcases to go. But even getting out the day we were leaving, we had a leak in the ceiling. Two of the suitcases that I packed were twice the size they can be. It's like when you leave to do something like that, it's not like champagne and toasts and things like that. It's like everything's drama and challenging. So the book is about why we went, what happened when we got there, and then how it transformed us.
So we got the why. We know why. Without spoiling the whole book.
There's no spoil. Yeah, I always like giving takeaways. So first of all, we ended up going there 7 months before COVID. So that was unexpected. And we ended up being in the strictest lockdown in Europe, where we were stuck there for, the kids cannot leave the apartment for 51 days. Like, it was insane. But I can tell you this, like the first month we were there, we went to an event for all new parents at the school. And the dean comes up and he goes, gives a toast, and he says to the parents, you guys have one job this year. You're going to be invited to trips and groups and dinners and lunches and play dates and other things like that. And you have one job, and that's to say yes. Yes to all these different activities, because the reason you are here is to experience and explore new things. And so that framed our entire year. I don't know about you, but I'm used to saying no, like all the time, like especially, or like someone wants to make plans with you, you're like, in 3 months on a Saturday, I'm free. Like, cause you get so busy in baseball and all the practices and stuff for your kids, and everybody who's there is mostly, you know, 50% were expats. So we started saying yes to the trips and to joining groups. And I thought I had all the friends. In your mid 40s, you think you have all the friends you're going to have. Within 3 months, created 30 new couple friends. And like most of them are still friends of life. But well, so that was one. Number two, and this is like, I think what was interesting about our experience and how I was able to write the book, I ended up journaling every day that I was there and publishing it on Facebook or online or in a blog post. And I put it out there. So real time, friends, family, and other people were able to see what we were going through. I can't tell you how many people either met me in person or reached out to me and said, Dave, you need to keep writing. This is so, like, this is inspiring me to do more with our story or push something out there. And one person's like, people think once you hit you're in your 40s, you cannot make any big changes in your life. And by you showing the change that you made by moving your family here and going through this experience will help others inspire. So like, that's when I started realizing 5 years ago, I'm like, I'm going to turn these journals into a book. And then the third, which I mentioned already, I don't know, do you have a rallying cry for your family? And if you don't, I would suggest doing it. It was a lot of fun to do. You sit around a kitchen table and everyone says keywords. What is your dream for the family or what represents it? And then you take that and you turn that into a sentence. You write that sentence down and you keep telling people about it. Dr. Richard, I don't know about you, but like when I write something down and I tell people about it, more often than not, it happens, which is, it sounds fake, but it's true.
Well, that's what Napoleon Hill said and a lot of people who, yes. So writing things down and sharing with people creates this loop of you're intensely focused. And now you don't want to let people down.
Or yourself down or whatever it is. But it's, for me, it's visualizing it and making it real. And so I think those three things were a unique combination. And we did travel. We traveled to Morocco and to Italy and to London and to Turkey and all these different, and all throughout Spain. And the kids came with us. And here's the thing. You got 18 years. And again, these are all cliche things, but it's true. You got 18 years before kids go to college or usually leave the house. And the time that we spent together in Barcelona and traveling, we were together all like a unit like we've never been before. When you're back home, everybody's doing their own thing. We were all struggling together, experiencing new things. And so we learned a new language together. We went to new places. And that, to me, made the trip. We have this shared unique experience. These are my kids on the cover. Like the book is their legacy for doing something. They wrote their college essays about this. And so that is something, you don't have to move abroad to do this. It can just be trips. Doesn't even have to be trips, but these unique shared experiences with your kids, they help slow down time and, you know, make you understand, you know, that, I don't know, since I've been back, I can remember less over the past 5 years and even those 2 years away.
I love this. And I've done episodes where we talk about how to do these things with your kids, how to run family board meetings. It's very similar to in concept to this rallying cry you're talking about. And when I was young, I was very lucky. I got to go overseas and, you know, wander about Europe with my brother. It was one of the coolest things we ever did, made us incredibly close. And it gave me a perspective that as a young American, I sorely needed to kind of see the rest of the world. Certainly, you've alluded to some of these things, you know, impacting you and your family, but you talked about the transformation. In what other ways would you say that you and your family experienced transformations? Some probably were expected, some probably not expected, I'm guessing.
Well, let's start with the goal of why we went there in the beginning. And it was to travel. What happened, you know, once you go on all these trips, it is now our kids who start with, where's our next experience? Where's our next trip? And to me, it's the kids who ask, where are we going next? Are going to be the adults who are not afraid, right, to take risks and to try new things. And so we have made it, we were a family that didn't travel at all, really, except for to beach trips before then, to now, since we've been back, where have we got? We just came back from Patagonia. We went to Israel, Japan, Australia, New Zealand. We do very, you know, longer trips that are not the usual. In each one of those, we get closer as a family because, you know, we took five planes in a week to go to different places. And so I think what I love is my youngest son is 12, calls us the traveling family. So that's one. And that's to me the most impactful. Number two, I remember like 3 months into, not even, maybe a month or two into Barcelona. And I was talking to my daughter at the time who was 10. I said, how has the experience been for you so far, you know, moving here? She goes, I thought it was going to be a lot harder than I anticipated, but it hasn't been that hard. It's actually, it's okay. And I remember thinking, wow, okay. I'm like, so what does that tell you about other things in life that you think are going to be hard? She's like, well, I guess the other things in life that I think are going to be hard are not going to be as hard as I think either. And I was like, that's the lesson right there, which was like unbelievable to me. My oldest son is fluent in Spanish. My twins are going to be traveling Europe this summer. Like, it just opened up their belief, understanding other cultures. I would say the simplest phrase, people are people. I expected, I don't know, even in like, I just expected people to feel so different. Everyone feels exactly, they just want to live a happy life. They want to be comfortable anywhere we went. So like that to me was everything. And then finally, like just forming communities and making, when you think you've had all the friends that you can have, it's just a reminder, it's never too late to find, like maybe me and you, right? To find somebody who's like-minded that you can become friends for the rest of your life in some form. And everybody who became an expat and moved there had things in common. That's how they ended up there. And that's why they were together.
I love how by traveling, by taking on these experiences, one, it brought you closer together. It's just the ultimate team building exercise for families. But two, the lesson that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you and I are pretty close in age, I think. And so I remember a lot of these shows from the 80s where these teenagers, these kids would go on adventure and they'd wind up in another dimension fighting dragons or something. And they go back to school and they're like, you know, this isn't so bad, right? I think that probably is amongst the most powerful things that I've heard you say, because for so many kids today, and parents too, but who lived through COVID and were gaslit by the media into being scared of everything. I mean, there are kids that have severe anxiety still related to that time of being isolated. You know, this is a really cool thing that a parent could do, not only for their kids, but for them and their spouse as well, to grow, expand boundaries and be able to say, you know, we face a lot of things that we weren't expecting and we rallied together. And if we could overcome that, then we could overcome X.
100%. And like, to me, it's important to recognize that not everybody can do that. Even though a lot of people potentially could, not everybody can. And that's why, like, to me, where I would share with anybody, like, I think the three-part formula that can help you with your family is one, the rallying cry, two, saying yes to new experiences together when you're would most likely want to say no. And then three, if you're up to it, so journal daily about, because journaling became part of the experience. Like, I remember things would happen and my son would be like, that's good. That'll be something to write about. And so I used to remember, like, what would you do tomorrow if you knew today, if you knew you had to write about it tomorrow? What would be interesting about your day? And so I would say journal about it. And if you want to get a little bit more aggressive, share it, post it, put it out there, because you will have a richer life and a richer experience if you know you have to share it. Because I just stayed home all day. I lied on the couch and I watched some TV. And the traveling with kids, it couldn't be in the state. It can be somewhere else. I would just say, try to do something that's not non-active, like going to the beach and just relax, like just make yourselves uncomfortable a little bit as a family together. You will create core memories that are, in my opinion, better than any gifts that you can buy, because they will last forever and they will be part of the folklore of your family.
Beautifully said. We'll have to have you back another time to talk about your 2019 book, because I wanted to ask a lot about it, but I bit my tongue so we could talk about 11 suitcases. So I have loved our time together, David. It's gone by too quickly. As you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guest a single question, and that is, what is your biggest helping, that one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
For me, what drives me and makes me feel alive, and I know a lot of people, is how could I live every day or my life to my fullest potential? And it's the gap of, like, from where I am to where I want to be is where I live. And for too long, I've always felt that, like, why am I not where I want to be, right? Because the journey of life is living in between the two. And we're always going to be in this spot. You know, it's the cliche, it's the journey, not the destination, I guess, is what you want to say, I want to say. But I keep feeling that over and over again. And that's where the happiness is. And so when you're moving towards that, it gives you focus and direction in life. I think the worst thing is knowing you've already made it. You've hit all your goals. You know, you're not striving for anything, you know? So that, to me, enjoy uncomfortableness of the journey.
I love that. The book is called 11 Suitcases. It is available everywhere books are sold, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes as well. But David, if people, they love the conversation, they want to learn more about you, where can they find you online?
I'm on LinkedIn, but you can go to 11suitcases.com. My bio's there. A link to everything I have is on there. So that's an easy thing to remember, just to keep the brand, or I'm very active on LinkedIn as well.
Perfect. And for those of you in the car, we got you covered. Everything will be in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com, so you can all get the Schnurman experience at its fullest. David, I loved our conversation today. I do want to have you back. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for writing this book. I can't wait to dig into it.
Thanks, Dr. Richard.
Absolutely. And I want to thank each and every one of you as well who took time out of your day to listen to this. If you liked it, if you're excited, if you're going to go figure out a rallying cry for your family, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post it in your feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.